I'm Dr. Tim Tudor. I'm always encouraged by what I read in the Bible. The words remind me of just how much God loves me and loves you. That's why he sent his son, Jesus, to die for me. I know this message is going to bless you. Believe God today. And now this morning's message from the Sanctuary of Harvest Christian Ministries.
I'm going to lay down my burdens down by, down by.
How many folks are just glad to be in the number today? Amen. Amen. That's a big thing that you're able to come into the house of the Lord today, one with another. So glad to see you. Even now, I ask that you might just bow your heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this day that you've given us. We can't say thank you enough. Because when we think about where you brought us from, where you have us today, we know that it wasn't because of our knowledge or because of who we knew. It was because of the grace of God. As we stand today, God, we thank you that you left on record the Holy Bible. It becomes a guide to live by. Now, I pray today that as we share from this writ, that the word might come alive today in the hearts of your people. May it fulfill what you've called it to fulfill. May we leave this place better than we've come in. God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit today. We stand in the power of your Spirit. Bless your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good. He's worthy. I'm excited about the word of God. I'm always excited. I've not always been excited about the word of God. I could tell you some days that I was not excited. I had a Bible for Bible's sake. Amen. It was on the table, in the room. I could find it, but I didn't read it. But there came a day when I began to encounter the truths, and I realized that they could make my life so different. Any witnesses today? Amen. Amen. I do want to share with you from 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 3 and 4. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." I want to share today from the sermonic title, Demolishing Strongholds, Part 1. Demolishing Strongholds, Part 1. A stronghold is a barrier of sorts. It is a well-fortified city, a fortress, if you can see that in your own mind's eye. On a psychological level, strongholds are the driving force behind our thoughts, our patterns, our attitudes, our actions. They can be considered practice ways of habitual thinking that bind us to bad habits and addictions and lifestyles. Strongholds can leave us hopelessness, leading us to believe something in our lives is unchangeable. On a demonic level, a stronghold can be defined as an influence or a grip, a persistent oppression, obsession, hindrance, or harassment. Strongholds. In light of that, I stopped by this morning to remind you that God has the power to demolish strongholds. He has the power to tear them apart. The topic comes up in a letter that the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth. And he writes them, here's the situation. Word has gotten out and had gotten back to Paul that, "Paul, your authority is in question. When you're with us, you're very laid back. And, you know, you're not that bold. But once you write us, you really sound like you're all of that." And so there was some question about whether Paul was wishy-washy, whether Paul was all that he said he was. And so he was on the defensive. And sometimes in our own faith, persons will pull us up and say, "Well, you're not all that. You have been going to church only a year and a half. And now you're in Bible study. And now you're praying. Now you're on the choir." And we have to defend who we are by saying, "You know, I'm just glad that I'm not what I used to be. I'm glad that God has made me in his own image." And so often we can feel this tension. And Paul gets back and says, now don't make me have to get bold on you. That's why I love the text. There's drama, there's tension. He said, "Now, when I get in front of you, I can really deal with you in a whole different way because of who I am and because I know what God has done in my life." And so this is back and forth. I was privileged last year to go to Corinth and to be in that city for a few days. And we know that it was tough there because not many people believed in the risen Savior. They believed in Zeus. They believed in Aphrodite. They believed in all the Greek gods, but not the God that Paul talked about. So Paul says to them, and in that verse 3, he says, "Now, for though we live in the world, though we live in Maryland, though we live in Baltimore, we do not wage war as the world does." The world knows how to wage war. The world will clench its fist. The world will roll up its sleeves. The world will tell you a thing or three. And in our flesh, that's the way we fight. Amen. Don't get me wrong. I'll tell you about yourself. And what we fail to realize is that we're fighting in a different manner. As believers, we don't fight that way. Now, I didn't say you have to lay open and take all kind of stuff, but there's a way that you can demolish these strongholds, these things that rise up and that come against God in a different way. Hope I'm helping somebody, because I know we all have strongholds. We all have barriers in our life. We all have things that tend to keep us from being all that we want to be. Have you found that to be the case? No matter how good you are, there's always something that keeps showing up and tries to get between you and God. Didn't ask you to be transparent, but maybe there's a thing or two. And so when you begin to come against that, you can't say, you better leave me alone. That's not going to do it. Back off me. Because what you're doing is you're fighting in the flesh when really this is a spiritual fight. Now, I don't always see it that way. But I had to learn that if something goes on, not everything is from the devil. But I have to realize that behind the scenes, it's not the person per se. It's the activity. Ah, look at that. So, well, I can get mad at Johnny and get mad at Susie and get, it's really the bigger piece. I can't fight them in the flesh, but I have to realize that we're in a spiritual fight. Church, can I be honest today? I didn't really want to preach this word. I kind of wanted to call it something else. And at the last minute, God said, no, you're going to stay there because you are going to be helped by the word yourself. I can't fight the way the world fights, but I can fight a different way. And really, as Paul lays this out, it becomes internal. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. If anybody knows about this internal fight, it's got to be Paul. Paul started out as someone who persecuted Christians, bring them in for a bounty. And so the old Paul fought the world's way. The old Paul didn't take any stuff. The old Paul was an intellectual. He knew all the word. But the old Paul was going against the Lord. His name was Saul. And then one day on his way to Damascus, he met his match. In fact, God knocked him from his beast and says, Paul, why do you persecute my people? And he is without sight for a time, but Paul is transformed. What I'm saying is that what happens is this: there's this internal fight. This internal fight that goes on within each of our lives. And so Paul knows what it means to fight in the world, but he's learned and been transformed about this that happens on the inside. This old song says, something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Not my physical appearance, but my God, if I look at you closely and have a conversation with you, it becomes evident there's something going on the inside. Hey, it's an inside job. And I'm so glad about that, that when we think about trying to demolish these things in our lives, we can't go at them with the flesh, but it becomes an internal struggle to become all that God has called us to be. Maybe you don't fight. Maybe you don't have a struggle. Maybe you always get it right. Maybe you don't have anything that knocks you at your knees. Maybe there's nothing in your life that gets in the way of you and your Savior. Strongholds exist. They're real. And the way we approach them is by divine power. That's how we do it. You can swing until the sun go down and fuss and talk about it and Facebook it and text it and tweet it. And that's all flesh stuff. Because when you start fighting it in the spirit, you're praying about it. And you're reading the word about it. And you're thanking God for it, but you're getting through it that way. It is an internal struggle. As he says in this letter. And I really can see it in the spirit, Paul. So don't get me wrong now. I'm old Paul. I got to handle this thing, but I'm a new person now. Ever met somebody that you've not seen for a while, perhaps, and they remember the old you, who at the drop of a hat, you'd lay them out. All of a sudden now you say, well, let me just pray about it. Let me just take some time. You know, I realize that now I'm not going to be ruffled. Yeah, I know what's going on because of what's happened in your life. It's not just that, but you got to be real intentional. See, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world, but they have this power. And so there's a plan. You can't just go after the enemy any kind of way. If you're not in a way dressed properly, if you don't have on the whole armor of God, and Paul talks about that, you've got to have on the helmet of faith, you've got to have the sword of the Spirit, you can't fight with your stuff. And when the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember, he went into the wilderness not long after he got baptized, and there was the devil tempting him, offering him bread, offering him power. And what does he say? He says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And I say, "No. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So that was a real intent to say, you have to use the word. You have to use the word on the enemy. You have to speak to that thing that's been blocking your way. And you have to talk about it in prayer. You have to say, you know what? I'm dealing with this on a whole different level. It really is something that's a stronghold. You know, there's this fight that takes place in the spirit realm, that where the angels of God are yet fighting, and the saints of God begin to pray. And we know that it gets up in the atmosphere, that it really is not a one-on-one fight. I can't say this enough. But it really is a spiritual fight. And as you begin to pray, God will begin to give you strength in your situations. He'll begin to give you some wisdom and some peace as you go through. But you got to be very intentional. You can't shoot at a moving target. You got to say, you know what? Now, I know that what's happening right now is not really of the Lord. And so rather than me saying, let me shoot a memo, let me just close my office door. And say, in the name of Jesus, God, give me the words I need. Give me your peace. Give me your strength. Come on, parents. You're going to deal with the way Pop dealt with it. No, I'm the daddy. I'm the mom. No, in the name of Jesus. Go in that child's room. Begin to pray in that room. My God, go in around the area. Say, you know what? I'm going to believe God. He's going to work this thing out. Be very intentional as you begin to tear down these strongholds in your life. There's an eternal fight. The struggle happens inwardly. And you got to be very intentional about how you go up against these forces. You can't come half-stepping. You got to be prayed up. You got to be prepared and have on that armor. But know that it's in Him that we live and we breathe and we have our being. Jesus knows what it means to confront opposition. He knows what it means to have people who are following Him, and their intent is to do what? To take Him out. He knows that there are those who are trying to put up strongholds and barriers in His ministry. Even Calvary, the cross, was a type of stronghold. But aren't you glad today that because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that all of our sins have been washed away, that something happened on that cross that made the difference? When you say divine power, this is not power from BGE. This is not Florida power, light power. This is the kind of power we get from what? Spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we know it is because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's because of what He did on that cross. That's what gives us power. Amen. And you'll find it in the Word of God. That as you begin to read that Word, you begin to get it into you. You begin to say, I only got one scripture, you know, but just use the one you got. Amen. And you'll find that the things that have been blocking your way, the things that have been keeping you back, that God would allow those things to come down. Has it happened in your life before? You've been struggling in a place and seemingly that nothing ever seems to happen, and you've tried everything conventional, but nothing happened. You say, I don't think I'm going to pray now. I'm going to pray about this thing. I'm going to begin to read the Word. I'm looking at my concordance and find the Word and find out where I can read some scripture and put it in my life. And that way I begin to fight. I'm ready now because I've got the Word of God working on my behalf. When you fight the enemy, you can't fight him. You got to have the Word of God, which is what? The sword of the Spirit. Did you know that today, that you can take that Word and tear some stuff down? You just have to recite the Word. You might speak the Word. You might pray the Word. What will happen is you'll find that those strongholds will begin to come down. Amen. The Bible says that the devil left Jesus for a season, which means that things keep coming back your way. But don't you know that you're more than a conqueror through Him that loved you? Don't you know that He is already defeated? Don't you know that God has given you everything that you need today to make it and to tear down and demolish those strongholds in your life? And one thing about strongholds, and as I said last time, those sins that so easily entangle us, they know us. And they keep coming back. And there's a situation that presents itself. You say, oh, not again. Oh, yes, again. And you know that by the power of the Lord, you can make it through. The song says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you, some other to win. I remember some years ago in the mid-90s in Baltimore when they tore down the public housing projects. And they wired it up for days. And then you saw those walls come down. You saw the buildings just come down to rubble. And sometimes in our lives, there are things that have built themselves up in our experience, and they'll come down. Can't you see those things coming down that have kept you back? Folk told you you wouldn't be anything. Folk have said that you'll never make it. And you've seen those strongholds come down. And that's the good news today. I'm glad as I read the word that Joshua had the people of God all together and said, you know what? We're going to take Jericho, but here's the way of doing it. Make sure that you've got the right people in line. 6 days, y'all just walk around it now. Walk all around singing the praise of God. And on the seventh day, somebody's going to blow the horn. And when they blow the horn, there will be a shout and the walls will come down. I declare today, you got to walk around the stuff that's been messing with you. You got to walk around the problems that seemingly have held you back. You got to walk around that envy. Walk around that backbiting. Walk around the things that have kept you tied up. And then shout. And see if they won't come down. Begin to shout to the Lord as a result of that. And the situation will change. Now, I know today you're going to shout later. And you save and you shout. For when Ray comes on the field, you save and you shout. When everything, but you know what? You got to shout today. Because as you walk around the things that have kept you back, he didn't say to them, just walk around. He said, after you walk around, you hear the drum, then you ought to shout. Anybody want to shout today? So I'm going to shout away the problems of my life. I'm going to shout away those things that have kept me back. I'm going to shout unto the Lord. Because I know he'll make a way. Keep walking around those strongholds that have been in your way, blocking your path. Walk around them and say, I use a different weapon. No knife and no gun, but they're divine because they're God sent and they'll tear down the walls in your life. I declare today, the next time you face that stronghold in your life, the next time that barrier, that thing tries to hold you back, you think, I got to fight it on a different level. I got to be like the children of Israel. I got to keep shouting. Shouting unto the Lord. I pray you've been helped today. Demolishing strongholds. That is the word of God. It is already blessed as you stand today. Shout to the Lord today. Anything to shout about today? Anything that God has brought you through that causes you to stay? I'm going to shout unto the Lord.
Take a moment and think about this morning's message. Now look for ways to apply the principles you just heard to your own life. I really do believe that your best days are yet ahead. I'd love you to join us in fellowship. In fact, there's a seat reserved just for you. We worship inside of the Movie 6 Theater in Baltimore County, Maryland. Our address is 7660 Bel Air Road. Hope to see you there. I'm Dr. Tim Tootin. Have a great day in the Lord.
I will sing your praise. For you have done such a marvelous thing. For someone so wretched, yet my soul you have redeemed. Thank you. you thought my soul was worth it. So you gave your only
love.
Amen. What a marvelous thing he has done. You know he's done some marvelous things for you. You ought to just shout hallelujah today. You know he's done wonderful things in your life today. Now you ought to give him praise. We all are a work in progress. And we look at what great things God has done. We can't help but marvel. There's nobody who can change a life but God. No one who can regulate a mind but God. And when you think about how great he is, maybe just me. I'm just glad that he changed my life around and put me on the right track. So we celebrate the goodness of the Lord today. Let's take a moment to bow our heads. Heavenly Father, it's amazing what you can do with a life. It's amazing how you can take a person and change them into your likeness. It's amazing what you can do. Even today, God, continue to shape us. Continue to hold us in your care. And we'll be so careful to give your name the praise and the glory. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord is worthy. What a sacred hour as we come to this moment to share the word of God. I want to bring your attention to Ephesians 6, 14 through 18. 14 says, "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Verse 17 says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." I want to share today from the sermonic title, Demolishing Strongholds, Part 2. Demolishing Strongholds, Part 2. Strongholds are driving forces behind our attitudes and our actions. They can lead to bad habits, addictions. A stronghold can also be defined as an influence or grip, an obsession or hindrance. Now, during our last time together, we talked about what it takes to demolish strongholds. It is not, "Watch out, I'm going to get you." It's not the world's way and the world's weaponry, but it really is using divine and heavenly power to go against the wiles of the devil. Talked about the Apostle Paul. He responded to a letter he received from the church of Corinth. There was some debate about its authority, and they really got almost into a knockdown drag out. Amen. But he wrote back and said, "Let me tell you something right now. I don't fight the way you all fight. The weapons of our warfare are different. I'm not going to ball my fist up at you, but I'm going to turn to the weaponry and the divine power of God." Well, he writes in another letter, this time to the church at Ephesus. And he is beginning to explain to them as well about our enemy, the devil. No matter how nice you are and what a great person you are, you need to know that you have an enemy. Not someone who puts your name on the gossip line. Not someone at work or home who may not like you. It's bigger than that. This is real stuff. When you're fighting this enemy, you got to know who you're dealing with. It's not like rec league, when you either lose or win the game, you line up and you shake hands with the opponent and say, good game. No, the devil is out to win this thing. He's out to win it at all costs. And so we've got to be prepared as believers in coming against the strongholds that come from the devil. Again, you may be a nice person, you treat your neighbor right, but we have to embrace the fact that there is an enemy. Let me say it again. There's an enemy who can't stand you. There's an enemy who hates you. There's an enemy who wants to see you fail. There's an enemy who knows your weakest point. There's an enemy who's ready to set you up at all costs. The devil, Satan himself. We're up against evil rulers, evil authorities in the unseen world. And that's why we've got to put on the full armor of God. And Paul takes really what is fairly common in that day. He takes a foot soldier, a Roman foot soldier, and says, now I want you to understand this by way of the weaponry or the armory that's used by the Roman soldier. And so today I've come to help you to dress up. As you go out into the world, you don't want to go with stuff hanging off you, but you need to go knowing that your enemy is out to win. And so really, there are some things that you need, and they're not really optional. If you want to live this Christian life, you got to be equipped. Amen? Have the things that you... And so let's go ahead even now and begin to unpack these verses. Again, this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. And so he says to them, first of all, here's what you need. You need to have a belt. Verse 14 says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. The Roman soldier had this belt. It kind of helped to hold everything together. It also is where he put his weapons. And it's called the belt of truth. Unless we practice the truth, we don't have a chance against the enemy. Why? The Bible says he's the father of lies. And so sometimes we lie to ourselves. And so what we really need to do is make sure that what you have holding yourself together, what you have holding you up, is truth. And we're old enough, most of us, to know what a truth is and what a lie is. We've told a few along the way. We've dressed it up. And know that unless you come with the truth of God, then you'll believe a lie. Oh, yes, you will. And so Paul is saying to the church, make sure that you've got the belt on. Keep in mind when you're fighting, you got to have something around you. This was a type of girdle that kind of held the sword in place. And so you couldn't really put everything else on until, wait, let me just talk to the fellas then. You ever let somewhere without your belt? And sometimes people are wearing the clothes. They got belts, but it's still hanging a little low. But you got to make sure your belt's on, no matter what loop is in, but you need a belt to support you as you put on this particular clothing. And Paul uses this whole example to talk about the belt of truth around your waist, not around somebody else's waist. That's for them. That's not for me. No, your waist. So it's very specific. My waist. But he goes on to say, comma, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. You need to have the breastplate on. He begins to explain this. It protects the soldier's chest from an enemy's attack. And made of metal plates and chains, it covered the body from neck to waist. It also covered the back. It symbolizes the believer's righteousness. And righteousness is nothing but godly conduct. It's doing that which is right, which pleases God. Righteousness is not something that we attain on our own. The Bible says that really, our righteousness is as filthy rags. But the fact that God calls you righteous, and the fact that he calls me righteous, knowing my history, knowing your history, knowing your background, but he sees you and calls you righteous. Maybe you don't feel good about that. You mean that same fellow I remember from back in the day. He's righteous. That doesn't mean that you've got it all together, but it means that the Lord calls you righteous. And so make sure this breastplate is the breastplate of righteousness. Blessed breastplate, rather, of holy living that you put on to make sure that when the enemy attacks, you got something to be able to ward off his attack. Amen? Your armor on yet? Y'all look like y'all don't have everything on. Is your belt on? Okay. All right. Talk back to me. Is your breastplate on? Are you covered so if it comes from the back, you know, sometimes folk come behind and get you. They won't come to your face and you looking at to fight them. It's the enemy at work. And you ever had an attack, a frontal attack? Somebody just come right. You say, what? It ain't nothing but the enemy at work. Paul says, make sure if you want to take this out, you got to have on the right type of equipment. But not just that. Also, you need to have on some sandals. And verse 15 says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. These were the kind of soles that really could dig in. And you in the midst of battle, you want some shoes to slide. You want to be able to stand your ground and hold yourself. And so what he's saying is you have to have the right kind of sandals on to make sure that when you're in an attack with the enemy, you're standing flat-footed. Amen? You're standing and you're being able to wage this war with the spiritual weapons of God. You need to have on some sandals. And I tell you what really got me excited. It says the gospel of peace. That sounds like some good news shoes, because the gospel really is good news. And so wherever you go, you ought to have on some good news shoes. As you share with somebody about the goodness of the Lord, you ought to be able to walk the right way. Watch it. I got on some good news shoes. I'm carrying the gospel of peace with me. I've always heard now the women say so. They'll look at a man's shoes. Shoes don't look right. Better watch that, brother. Amen. And we've lost the art of shining shoes and making sure they're looking good. Amen. I want to break it all down to you. But he says in this 15th verse, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel. Make sure they're fit. Make sure they're in the right place. But it does not end there. He says, also, if you're going to come against the wiles of the devil and the strongholds, you need to have a shield. Verse 16 says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which will allow you to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And the enemy will throw darts at you. This was a type of shield that would really become a defensive weapon. So I didn't bother nobody, but the darts are coming. I do my thing, but folk will still throw darts at you. The enemy will still throw. And see, it says flaming arrows. This is not something from Walmart. This is serious stuff. And what I'm saying really is sometimes in life, you're seeing that you're under attack by someone or something, and we're so in the mindset that it is the person. And we fail to understand that this is a spiritual warfare. So what's really taking place is kind of behind the scenes. Now, yeah, you and I get mad at the person, and not every attack is spiritual. But you have to realize, let me transform my own mind to a place that I know that I'm not dealing with a person, but I'm dealing with a spirit. And I got to make sure I got the Spirit of God working in me, that I'm walking the Christian life, that I'm making sure my shield is. No one all the time says, oh, it's going to get me. But always make sure your shield is close by. Amen? The shield. Shield of faith. The shield of what I believe. He keeps going. Make sure you've got the helmet. Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This helmet. The Roman soldier, I mean, he was well covered. He didn't know which angle it was coming. So you have to make sure. Why is the head so important? The head is important because that is the seat of our thinking. It's our mind. And the scripture says he will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Well, my God, if you think about something long enough, That's all we at. We think about it. If I just can get to that person, if I can think about this long enough, and the enemy will figure if he can, you can have all the other stuff on and have your head uncovered. Have your mind open to, you know, I'm just being open. No, you got to make sure you don't take all kind of stuff, and you can't watch everything. You can't listen to everything. You can't hear everything. Make sure your mind is stayed on him. And so he says, make sure you are covered with this helmet of what? Salvation. I started thinking about this there. I said, you know what? Our faith is a thinking faith. It's not so much so you are mostly you shouting, but are you thinking about it? When you gave your life to Jesus, you thought that thing over. Now, Lord, you want me? Do you know who I really am? But you have to think about it. And your mind began to connect with what it means to give your life to Jesus Christ. You thought it over, but it came by way of your mind. And your mind connects to your heart. And the mind is the battle. I don't care what anybody says. I can stay right here and be done with this thing. Is the mind is the battlefield. I know. See, I don't know your secret thoughts and you don't know mine. But the enemy said, hey, have you thought about this thing? You say, well, and you begin to say, let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. But maybe he's never attacked your mind before. Maybe you've never had some crazy thoughts. Maybe you've never had anything come on your mind. Maybe nobody here. Now, you might have put a block up, but the devil will come and deal with the way that we think. Stinking thinking. Oh, yeah. And you have to catch it at the onset. That's not of God. I'm not going to process that thing. That's of the enemy. Has it ever happened to you? Anybody in church this morning ever had some crazy thought? Took you down what's memory lane for a minute. You got stuck on the lane and you were all back someplace where you should not have been and had to catch yourself in the spirit. That's why you've got to make sure you got the helmet of salvation. Transforming our thinking. Not much more left. The sword. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The believer has to have the sword. It is an offensive weapon. The Bible talks about this sense of the double-edged sword. That this word is a good word, isn't it? Come on, say it. Praise the Lord. It also will cut you because it'll turn both ways. Amen? It'll help you in your growth. It'll cut you when you're out of line. Maybe nobody's been cut before in here. Ever had the word of God to cut you to where you realize you were wrong in something and you say, I ain't going to hear nothing else. And the word of God cut you. Amen? He's saying you got to be able, in the midst of battle, you got to have a little short armor. You got to be able to say, you know what? Sometimes your fighting is close fighting. You don't get a chance to have all that strength. You up close. And the enemy is working you. Pull your sword, I say, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. That's the sword. All the days of my life, you've got the sword, which is what? Come on, class. Well, what is it? And what's that? Well, what's that, Kenny? You yell something? That's the Bible. That is scripture that we have and that we take in. You can't run when the enemy comes. Let me get my Bible. I'll be right back. It's too late. Let me get my iPad. Let me get my iPhone. Then I'll tell them. No, you better say, I got a scripture in me. I got something in me, Lord. You know, and be able to know you can use that word at the point of attack. This is getting stored up. Just call up, get on him and pull it up right now in my spirit. All right. No fussing. No one will get you. But speak the word in truth. Are you dressed up now? You got all the pieces you need? Don't forget prayer. You can look your best in all your armor. But the Bible says in verse 18, and pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying, 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 praying for all the saints. Praying in the Spirit, praying with the power of God, praying knowing that God will answer your prayer. Has he answered your prayer before? My prayer makes a difference. That no matter what I've got on, I've got every piece of equipment I need, but unless you hit the cold, prayer is the cold. Prayer is the key. Prayer is what you need to get to where God is trying to take you. It says, in the Spirit on all occasions. Pray at the family reunion. Pray at the birthday party. Pray at the Ravens game. Whatever. Amen. You got to pray just to make it today. Every situation, it may not be a verbal, let's hold hands and pray, but my God, you ought to begin to think on the goodness of the Lord and all he's done. Ever went to a test, a big test, a final exam coming up, and say, you know what? I can't break down and pray up in here, but I can say, oh Lord, thank you. You ever had one of those kind of prayers where you had to go in for an examination for your doctor and you say, well, while you're in the waiting room, you're just trying to get a prayer in. It says on all occasions, you begin to pray with all kinds of prayers. Prayer of faith, prayer of healing, prayer of encouragement, prayer of exhortation, all kinds of prayer, praying unto the Lord with requests. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need you. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints. Paul knew this. Next verse, Paul says, y'all pray for me too, so that whenever I begin to open my mouth, I've got something to say. Pray for the pastor. I'll take all the prayers I can get. Pray for me. So that when I stand on Sunday mornings, I'm saying something that comes from the Lord. Pray for me as I'm on my job. Pray for me and I'll pray for you. That's what good Christians do, isn't it? But my God, we pray for one another. Amen. That's how you demolish strongholds. And know this, the battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. See, when you try to fight the battle, you might use some tactics. I used to watch wrestling back in the day before it was called WWF. And for a moment, one guy may get a foreign object. He'd come back from around and knock out the other guy. They said, we don't know what he had. But this battle, you can't fight the world the way it's fighting. You have to fight it the way the Lord fights it. We're all in the battle. Song says, I'm on the battlefield for the Lord. I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for the Lord. Will you pray today? Will you keep prayer at the forefront of your life? That while you've been given these divine weapons, we've got to pray. It's the only way we can make it. In fact, you're the recipients of prayer. You and I are here today because somebody prayed for us. That is the word of God today. It is already blessed. Stand on your feet all over this place today. Amen. How many need prayer today? Come on, put those hands together.
It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing. It's me.
It's me, oh Lord, standing in the
prayer. It's me.
It's me, oh Lord, standing in the
prayer. Oh, to know it's me. Not my mother, not my father, but standing in the
prayer.
Standing in the need of
prayer.
Oh, you know it's me. It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer.
Amen. I want to just say to you today, as you think about where we are in our own lives, life can be challenging. And maybe all along you were fighting with the world's weapons. I can't seem to win. Nothing seems to get better for me. Maybe I've used the wrong technique and the wrong weaponry. As I come to you today, I come this way every Sunday. As I come, I have pretty much the same message that Jesus will save your soul. You allow him to come into your heart. You open your heart and say, Lord, I've been in a battle with myself. It's been a losing battle. But today I want to invite you to try Jesus. Allow him into your heart. I really believe this. I really do believe what I share from week to week. I really do believe that God can save your soul. And I can only use myself as a point of reference that he saved me one day. Even when I didn't think I was lost. See, we never think we're lost. But it became evident that I saw this life just transform. And the beauty is, he's not done with me yet. He's still working on me. I shared this last time, I'll share it again. Don't you know that when you start to read this kind of text, I'm going to preach that. There's always a force saying, I don't need to preach that. Why don't you just preach something about joy? You ain't got to go into all about no strongholds. There's no need for that. What you've been sharing every Sunday is just fine. So leave it alone. And I began to look at the very things in my own life that I battled. I said, you know what? I need this. I need to be reminded of what God will do when you turn your heart and your mind over to him. In case you didn't know, this thing is bigger than Paul. Paul just gives us the example. He says, even when I would do good, evil was always present. As you bow those heads today, search your own heart today. Take inventory of your life. And ask yourself this question. If I died today, right now, next 60 seconds, will I go to heaven? Or will I go to hell? Or I'm not sure. If you're not sure today, right where you're standing, you can receive the Lord Christ Jesus into your heart. The Bible says what you have to do is to confess your sins and ask the Lord to come into your heart. Your heart being who you are, your seat of emotions, that makes you up. And ask him, Lord Jesus, save me from all of my sins. I'm a sinner, and I want to be saved. I want a new life. I want to live better. I want to walk better. I want to treat others better. But I can't do it by myself. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, if there's a heart that's open today, that you might save them. If you're here while those heads are still bowed, it's a decision you can make right now. If you're here today, you're not sure. Don't leave this place unless you're sure. That's my message. That's my clarion call to you today. If you know you're saved, then just say, Lord, thank you. And put your hands together if you know you're saved. Amen. He's Lord.
He is Lord. He is Lord.
Here's what makes him Lord.
He has risen. And he is Lord.
Every knee shall bow.
Every knee. Every tongue. That Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yeah, I went to this point in the service. And one mind said, you know what, that's it, once you're gone. But another mind says, there's always somebody who needs a little extra something. If it's no more than coming down and standing with another believer and knowing that it's going to be all right. And that's why I opened the altar for prayer. Because maybe you need just a little extra. Maybe you've got part of your weaponry, not the other. You say, you know, I want to be a better me. And so I'm already at the altar. If you desire prayer today in your life, whatever area that may be attacking you, if you desire prayer, come to the altar. I want to pray with you today. As we come and stand together, we all need it. And together we can make it with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's so faithful. He's so kind. And this life that we live, is it challenging? Absolutely. Does it get rough? You bet. But I'm a Christian and I go to church every Sunday. But struggle will still come. We can move around a little bit. There's some more folk coming. Amen. And I come today just to encourage you. I don't have a magic pill, a special cloth. I'm just a believer like yourself. So we come today really in faith. And faith is not being able to see it, but believing it. I tell the story that back at the old Douglas pool, you had to get on the diving board to learn how to swim. And God said, Tootin, you're not going to do it, man. I said, oh, man. Because my swimming was suspect. Why? Because every year they put tons of chlorine in the water and my eyes would get red. And so I devised a plan. I'm going to jump. But I'm going to make sure that it's somewhere near the side of the pool. So when I go down, I've got just a little ways to get to the side. And maybe in your life, you've jumped off into something that's been heavy for you. And you've gone under, and now you pop back up. And you need just enough strength to get to the other side. Maybe that's your story. As we bow today, Father, I come in the name of Jesus. We come as a community of faith, believing your word, believing your promises. You said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. Even though we may feel lonely, we're not alone. Even though our finances may be at their wit's end, you still supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so, Father, I come today encouraging your people. As I encourage, as David said, you got to encourage yourself. I'm waiting for somebody to encourage me. Encourage yourself today. But Lord, I pray today that the strongholds in our life have appeared and made themselves known. And we can demolish them by using divine power. Not fighting out here, but knowing that as we pray, the saints of God are able to come against the prince of this world and to give us victory. So in the life of every person, I declare, I speak victory in their lives today. Victory for one may not look like victory. Victory for another, they just crossed the finish line. For the other person, they're on lap number one. But either way, God, we know that we don't run, we don't walk alone. By the Spirit of God today, encourage us to continue to keep on the full armor of God, that we'll be able to defeat the enemy. God, we declare victory. We believe it in faith today. In Jesus' name, amen. Celebrate if you got victory today. Amen. Amen. Come on, celebrate, celebrate, celebrate. My, come on, put those hands together. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I mean, really celebrate today. You know that God is bringing you through this thing. My, you ought to just, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, celebrate. Hallelujah, celebrate, celebrate. Celebrate, celebrate. Celebrate the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You are victorious. Go to your seats today, my God. Isn't the Lord good? Oh, we leave this place better than we've been coming. Amen? Amen. Get all excited. Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Why don't you get all excited that Jesus will get all excited? Oh, Jesus. Why don't you get all excited? Jesus. Jesus Christ. One more time. Oh, why don't you get all excited? Jesus. Why don't you? Oh, Jesus. Why don't you get all excited? Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Amen. Be prepared to leave this place. The men had one left, but the Spirit said that's it for today. Amen. We thank God for just being able to meet us here today. Aren't you glad you met the Lord here today? Amen. Amen. So maybe as we leave today, you desire to be a part of this fellowship, and you know how easy that is. You can either walk before the church today, or you can keep coming and getting in Bible study and making yourself available to the Lord. That's fine. What's most important is that you're saved. That to me is priority one. Amen? Amen. If you are here and you desire to be a part of this fellowship, the doors are always open. I feel so much better when I do what God tells me to do. Amen. Don't you? I feel so much better. As we leave this place today, it's so good to see all of you.
I pray you were helped in some way by this message. Be sure to follow Harvest Christian Ministries on radio, CD, podcast, or over our new website. It's cometoharvest.org. That's come to harvest, C-O-M-E, the number 2, and harvest.org. Take time to experience the website and all that we have to offer as a ministry. In the meantime, pray that God will continue to allow us to reach a community for Christ, for the cause of the kingdom. I'm Dr. Tim Tootin. Have a great day in the Lord.